Welcome to another message from Cherry Street Pulpit, the preaching ministry of First Christian Church in West Frankfort, Illinois. I'm TJ Gentry. For more resources, visit our church website, fccwf.org. May God bless you as you listen today.
Father, we thank you for our champion, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he took on flesh. He lived a sinless life. He fought the darkness. He willingly went to the cross and declared that the battle was won. He rose from the grave. He has ascended. He prays for us right now. And he will come again and put this world to right. He indeed is our champion. And as we have lifted our voices to you, Lord, we now ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through your word. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be yielded to you, that we would hear you and believe you, that you would quiet every confusing voice, that your holy angels would protect us during this time as your word is wielded and it is living and active. We know that it is given to us to discern the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Father, I pray for any who hear this that are not yet Christian, that they would come to know that you love them, that they would believe the gospel, that you love them, that you've given your son to die for their sins. And I pray, Lord, that they would repent and make confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that they would be united to Christ in baptism and be born again. Father, I pray for the believer who's here this morning, who's wrestling with doubt, who's hurting. I pray that your word would minister to them, that it would be a balm to their soul and bring them peace and comfort. And I pray, Lord, that those who need to be challenged, that those who are living in rebellion would be called to account and that they would know that repentance is the pathway to wholeness, that they would lay down their stubbornness and yield to your spirit and be rededicated to you. Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege that we have of being part of this church, of being in this place. We thank you, Lord, that we have the hope of heaven. The hope of glory. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're finishing this morning our series on prayer warriors. And I pray that you have taken up the call to be a prayer warrior. We're all called to be prayer warriors. We're in a spiritual battle. And prayer is our main weapon. And God has entrusted each of us, with a part in the war. A war that is real. A war that is sometimes more difficult than others. But a war that we must fight with the confidence that King Jesus is leading us. He is the captain of our army. And he calls us to be faithful. This morning we want to talk about the last of our types of prayer. And I've chosen the title, I Am Thine, O Lord. Of course, if you're like me and you know that hymn, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard your voice and it draws me closer to you. Draw me near, 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 precious Lord. We're going to talk about consecration. And all of the discussion that we've had, all the messages up to this point have been leading to this one message. Because the prayer of consecration in particular is the whole life prayer. Every type of certain prayer, of conditional prayer, of complaint prayer, all hinges on this one. And my prayer for you and my intention for you, and as I labor all week wrestling with the message and asking God to make clear to me how to best communicate it, my prayer this week and my hope this week has been that you will recognize that you must lay down your whole person in consecration to the Lord. Jesus wants all of you. And Jesus deserves all of you. And you can trust Jesus with all of you. Some of you are holding back. You're letting a little bit of fear or bad experience or uncertainty keep you from a complete abandonment to the Lord. My prayer has been that you and I would recognize that when we talk about prayers of consecration, we're talking about abandoning it all. We're talking about signing the check and leaving the amount to be filled in by the Lord, knowing that He's going to say everything. That's where we're at this morning. And so just by way of review, let's talk about the four types of prayers. I just mentioned them. We've talked about prayers of certainty, those prayers that we know are in Scripture and we know that have a definite command or a statement in Scripture. So when we pray with certainty. We talked about prayers of conditionality. This is where we live. This is the least fun of all the prayers. This is the, Lord, if it's your will, then do X, Y, Z, whatever that is. And I know you right now are wrestling with prayers of conditionality, prayers where you're saying, God, if you will just do this, I don't know exactly what your purpose is here, but I'm asking. And if it's your will, let your will be done. And then last week we talked about prayers of complaint. I received some comments on those, that message, and I appreciate the comments. Those of you who are complaining about it, complain up, not to me, right? But prayers of complaint are an important part. Most of the Psalms are prayers of complaint, where you go and you make your case to the Lord and you pour out your heart and you lament to Him and you're honest with Him and you just say, this isn't right, I don't like it, and you let Him know, and then you say, but I'm going to trust you anyway. Today, as I said, we're going to talk about prayers of consecration. We're going to talk about what it means to wholly give ourselves to God, to lay ourselves open before Him, to entrust ourselves to Him. Now, in some instances, if you're here this morning or you're in our online family and you're not a Christian, the first prayer of consecration for you is to pray to become a Christian, to start the journey. But many of you, the Christians in our audiences, God is calling you to a rededication. He's calling you to, where you're at, recommit. Some of you have been in and out. Some of you have been wishy-washy. Start fresh today. Some of you are fighting the good fight and God's saying, I'm going to call you to a deeper experience with me. That's a prayer of consecration, and we're going to talk about that. Remember, we have these guiding questions. Our first is, what is the prayer warrior's principle? Every type of prayer has abiding principles that undergird it. And these are the things that are always true. And we'll see there's a principle for the prayer of consecration. We've also asked, where is it revealed in the Bible? The Scripture is our guide. This Bible is absolutely trustworthy. Every assault that has been given against the Word of God has been answered and will be answered. You have a Bible that you can trust. There is not a single challenge that the Bible can't meet. I say that with absolute confidence, not in TJ, but in God's Word. And I know that the challenges can be answered. So we want to see what the Bible has to say and take it seriously. And so we ask, where is it revealed in the Bible? We also want to know what attitude should direct us. We've said it many times. Attitude is that little thing that makes a big difference. Some of you came in this morning with a good attitude and you're going to receive a blessing because your attitude is right. Some of you have a soured attitude. You're going to receive a correction because you need to get your attitude in check. I struggle with attitude. I'm hurting this morning. My back is giving me fits. I'm set to go up and see the neurosurgery team at Barnes soon, and I am unhappy about that. I'm not happy about that. I was unable to go on a trip this coming week that I'd been looking forward to. I can't even sit in a car for very long. All right, if I fall over, Laverne, just come up here and prop me up, and I'll lean on you and preach it out, all right? But my attitude, I've had to put it in check because, you know what? You soldier on. You get up and you go, right? Quitting's not an option. Right? It's not an option. So we have to watch and see what is our prayer warrior's attitude. We also want to see what's the yield from this prayer. Every prayer should have an outcome. Some of them are immediate. Some of them aren't. But they all have a yield. So those are the questions that have been guiding us. So let's jump in and talk about a prayer of consecration. First of all, let's talk about what that word means. When we use the word consecration, we're talking about setting something apart as wholly dedicated to the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you look at how the Levitical priesthood is set up, Moses is given very specific instructions from the Lord when he goes up on the mountain as to how to set up the tabernacle, which would eventually be the temple, and as how to set up the people, in particular the priesthood. And he's told exactly how to deal with Aaron and his sons. And one of the key things that he was to do is he was to consecrate the priests. He was to set them apart to a special role. And they did it through a series of actions, washing, changing clothes. But the people were also to be consecrated. Because remember, we all are a royal priesthood. We all are part of the priesthood of God's people. And so consecrating means to set apart, to declare as holy. It's like this. There are certain foods at my house that I know when Amy makes them and they go on a particular part of the counter in the corner, that she's signaling to me, don't touch it. Now, I can be really obtuse on purpose at times. And usually about the second bite into one of those, I say, oh, was this not supposed to be eaten? But she consecrates some food at the house. She sets it apart. That's kind of the idea, except this is a whole lot more holy, and that was just a terrible illustration. Pray for me. So prayers of consecration we're talking about how can we wholly commit ourselves to the Lord. So let's talk about the principle. All right. There's a principle involved with prayers of consecration. And I really, really pray and hope that you will get this principle deep in your soul. Deep in your soul. And here it is. Consecration begins with a prayer. It's demonstrated by a way of life and is continually reinforced with the prayer. So think of it like this. When I am going to be consecrated to the Lord, I start with a prayer of consecration. When I was in youth group, when I was in college, there were times when I knew that I needed to come forward when an invitation was extended and I needed to rededicate my life to the Lord. Now, once people realized TJ's not coming up to be saved again, right? He's just really serious about committing himself. It would always start with a prayer. And the prayer would be something along the lines of, Lord, I want just to be wholly yours. And I was blessed to be around very zealous Christian men early on in my life. And I would often see them at the altar of the churches where we attended and praying and just pleading that they would be wholly given to God. And I learned from that. And of course, you see this all across Scripture, that consecration begins with a prayer, but it has a next step. I once heard a minister say, do everything you can to answer your own prayer. Right? And so you pray for consecration, and then the next part of the principle is then you demonstrate consecration in your way of life. We're talking about holiness here. We're talking about being completely committed to the Lord. And you look around at your life and you say, am I living the life that I'm praying to God that I would have? I pray for consecration. I demonstrate it. And then I continually pray for consecration. And then I demonstrate it. And then I pray for consecration. And then I demonstrate it. And then I pray for consecration. You get it? This is what it takes. And the reason that some of you have never had a deep walk with Jesus is because you've said the prayer and you've not done the work. And the work is yours to do. You have the Spirit. You have the ability. You have the resources. You are as mature spiritually as you choose to be. You've heard me say that many times, and it's absolutely true. God has not taken some people and said, well, these people are going to be more mature. I'm going to give them some extra stuff. These people, they're just kind of meander on, and they'll be more than, just average, basically. That's not true. Every one of you has the potential to be a spiritual giant, to be someone that they're talking about 100 years from now. Not because you're great, because Jesus is great and he does great things through you. So the prayer sets it in motion. The actions demonstrate the seriousness of the prayer. The prayer sustains it. And that's the cycle. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The prayer of consecration is one that you will pray often. Often. Every day. Many times throughout the day. So, a few caveats. We've talked about the passage in James that says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Remember that? So if you want your prayer to avail much, how many of you want your prayers to matter? How many of you want to see things happen when you pray? Anybody say, when I pray, I'm just kidding. I'm really just looking to fill some space. No. If you want your prayer to avail much, you have to be consecrated. That's why the scripture says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, a consecrated person, avails much. Remember, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayers. He won't. He will not hear us. He will not honor our requests when we are knowingly living an unconsecrated life. And our culture makes it very easy to live an unconsecrated life as a Christian. It's very easy as Christians to be worldly. We are in a culture, it's decreasing in its acceptance, but that by and large has said, it's fine if you be a Christian, just do everything else. And for a long time, many of you grew up in this generation. Being a Christian was like being an American. Folks, that's the most unbiblical thing you can ever believe. I'm not anti-America. My point is, being a Christian is a distinct choice. If you're not standing out, if you're not bumping up against things, if you're not seeing that darkness really is real because you're living light, you're not living a consecrated life. But you can. You absolutely can. So remember, when we talk about this principle, consecration begins with a prayer, is demonstrated by way of life, and is continually reinforced with a prayer. We want to remember that if you want your prayer to avail much, you have to be consecrated to the Lord. And we're going to talk about how to do that. Another caveat, consecration is a duty and it's a choice. When I say it's a duty, it's not optional. It's not optional. When I was a soldier, there were certain things that were not optional. Now, there were some things I could choose to do or not to do, but I could not choose to show up one day in a t-shirt and jeans for a formation. Wearing a uniform was a duty, and I was proud to put that uniform on. I could not let my hair, there was a time when this actually applied to me, I could not let my hair just go outside of regs. It was a duty to wear a certain haircut. I could not disobey a direct order, a lawful order. It was a duty to obey that. So some things are a duty. Consecration is a duty. This isn't a suggestion for us. Even though I'm trying to present it winsomely and encourage you to do it, when it comes right down to it, why are we consecrated? Because God said to be consecrated, which means if you're not consecrated, you're in sin. Blunt? Anybody? But it's also a choice. God will not force you to be consecrated. He won't. You can be, as I said, as holy as you choose to be. We have all the resources. We have all been given the same opportunity. You may disagree with that, but everybody has the same opportunity to grow in the Lord. Your circumstances are unique. Your opportunity is the same. You still have to make the choice. You have to make the choice. And I've noticed that in my life, as I grow older, I come through seasons where every season gives me the opportunity to choose again to be more consecrated to the Lord. I shared with you a few weeks ago, I've recently gone through a pruning where I have had to make conscious decisions to lay aside certain things that I loved, that were enjoyable, that were fruitful, so that I could be more wholly focused in one area. That was a choice to be more consecrated. Every season of life gives you that opportunity. It's not just for young people at a church camp. It's not just for college students. It's not just for young marrieds. It's not just for those who are in the middle of all that. It's not just for those of you who are seniors. I don't include myself in that number, though AARP does have my address, and they've been sending me things. I think they mean to go to Mike Riva, but they're coming to me. Every season in life has a choice, and you have to make it. So consecration, it is a duty, but it's a choice. Will you make the choice? There's very little downside. There's none to choosing to obey God, right? I mean, there might be some short-term pain, but nobody's ever going to stand before the Lord and say, I'm sorry, I listened. Never. Another caveat. Consecration requires holiness of mind, heart, word, and deed. I got to get my mind right. I got to get my heart right. I've got to get this thing figured out. And this is the battle, right? And I have to put my deeds in order. One area where I want to challenge you, and I'm going to go to meddling right now, so just prepare yourself. Pull your toes back if you're afraid I'm going to step on them. I might just jump on your knees, all right? One area where we as a Christian people, and especially as this church, have an opportunity to be more consecrated in word and deed is stop doing stupid things on the internet. I mean this literally. For the love of God, stop it. What are you doing? I love you, but I know what some of your posts are, and they're terrible. You're not doing any favors for the gospel when you put certain things on there that might be funny, but they're not. They're crude. Or when they're attacking people that the Bible specifically says we are to pray for and honor. Folks, we hurt our witness more easily and more quickly by the use of Facebook and other social media than you can ever imagine. You would be amazed at how many times I get a phone call to make me aware of an issue that is causing fractures in our church because one of you thought it was cool to go off on your keyboard and do something that you would never do if Jesus was sitting next to you. What are you doing? I love you, but stop it. That's not consecration. Now, I struggle with the same thing. Not on social media so much because I've limited myself. I'm not saying you have to get rid of all social media, but I will tell you this. If your right hand causes you to sin on the keyboard, cut it off and get rid of the keyboard. Sound like something Jesus might say, huh? If you're mad at me, you'll get over it. All right. Consecration, it requires holiness of mind, of heart, of word, and deed. One more caveat. A lack of consecration quenches the Spirit. One of the things that we should always be mindful of is we do not want to quench the Holy Spirit. Folks, we can't function without the Spirit. When Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me, when you fast forward that to what happened at Pentecost, what he was saying is, you can do nothing if you're not filled with my Spirit. Now, all of us at our baptism receive the fullness of the Spirit. There's one baptism, one Spirit. We got the Spirit. But when we are not living a consecrated life, we are quenching the Spirit. And if we quench the Spirit, that means we don't have the power of God in our lives. I don't want to live without the power of God. I know what that looks like. I know what a mess I can make of things in quick, fast, hurry fashion. And so consecration requires that we would be receptive to, filled with the Spirit. Think of it like this. When we talk about you pray for consecration, you do what consecration is praying for, and you pray for consecration, each time what you're saying is, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. And the Holy Spirit is delighted to give us His strength, His guidance. But when we don't consecrate ourselves, when we pray it and don't do it, the Holy Spirit says, I'm not coming into that mess. And if we go long enough, and some of you are right on the cusp of a full quenching of the Spirit because of your rebellion and your excusing of things, your refusal to forgive, your holding on to bitterness, your being divisive over silly things. Because of that, you're right on the edge of quenching the Spirit. And when you quench the Spirit, it's like you're in a room full of light and all of a sudden it goes out and you cannot reset the breaker. Only God can do that. And you're going to be in darkness and things are going to get messy. Now, God is gracious, and He will give you the opportunity to be restored, but you will have to labor and struggle. That's all avoidable. Hear me, beloved. That's all avoidable. A life of consecration is filled with the Spirit, but when we lack consecration, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about where is this in the Bible. So we're going to look at three passages very quickly. One of them is going to give us a part of the story. Another gives us the other part of the story. And then the last one is going to be an example of where Paul actually prays a consecration prayer. The Bible has a lot of instances of this. But here's what is called the theology of consecration. This is Romans 12:1. So in Romans, Paul is writing a letter that's laying out the theology of what it means to be a Christian. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, he says we've all sinned. We have to be born again. We have to be buried with Christ in baptism and raised. We have to understand that God is working all things together for our good. And we have to understand that God is doing this on His terms. And then he comes to chapter 12, verse 1, and he transitions. And the rest of the letter is the so what. So chapters 1 to 11 are the what. Chapter 12 through 16, the so what. And so this is how he starts off with the so what. He says, present your bodies. And that plural, all of us, he's talking to the church. All of you present your bodies. And he means your whole person. Your whole person. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your hands, your feet, everything. Your bald head, whatever it is. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. So sacrifices go on the altar. In the Old Testament, when the sacrifice went on the altar, it was killed. He's saying, here's the difference. You put yourself on God's altar alive. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, consecrated. So you come to God and you say, I'm presenting to myself to you and I am consecrating myself to you. Acceptable to God. God accepts every one of us when we come to Him this way because He accepts us in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, this is your reasonable service. In other words, this is what makes sense in how you worship God. Reasonable service is another way of saying clearly approached worship. The word for service there is where we get our word for liturgy. So a liturgy is an order of service, liturgia in the Greek. And so he's saying, if you want to worship God correctly, and prayer is a part of worshiping God, right? Do this, right? Okay. Then the way you do it, and this is the theology of consecration, is you come and you say, Lord, I'm coming as a living sacrifice. I'm giving you my whole self. I'm going to be holy. You have made me holy. I'm going to live like it. And I know that I'm acceptable to you. This is the least I can do. It really is. Consecration is step one. So that's the theology of consecration from Romans 12:1. Here is what is called the priority of consecration. I pray this prayer multiple times every day. It's part of my devotion in the morning, and then I'll pray it throughout the day. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. This is Luke 11:2, his version. But I want you to notice that when Jesus answers the question, Lord, how should we pray? He answers it by giving a model prayer, and the beginning of this prayer is all about consecration. This is what we are talking about. Notice how Jesus says to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, I want your name to be revered. Your kingdom come. You see who it's all about? It's all about God. It's all about Him. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the priority of consecration. When we say we want to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we're saying, Lord, I want everything I do to hallow your name. I want everything I do to point to your kingdom. I'm not trying to build my own kingdom. I don't have an agenda. I am here to serve you. And Lord, I want everything to reflect that we're trying to make earth look as much like heaven as possible. In heaven, nobody hesitates to obey God. In heaven, worship is perfect. In heaven, everybody is in unison. In heaven, the church is fully alive. And so this is how consecration looks. And it's interesting that Jesus made it a priority in teaching us to pray to begin with an emphasis on consecration. How many of you think Jesus is a leader worth following? Yeah. Yeah. He's a great leader. He's the greatest leader you'll ever meet. He's also the smartest guy you'll ever encounter. Now, I know you say, well, he's the God-man. True. But everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus does is worth looking at and following. It really is true. We should ask the question every time, what would Jesus do? That is the point. And if Jesus gives us a model prayer that starts with consecration as its priority, guess what? We should be focused on consecration. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's about consecration. Your kingdom come. That's about consecration. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's about consecration. When we pray that prayer, when we start that way, we have set things in order. We are focused in the right way. That's the priority of consecration. Now, let me give you one more thing in Scripture here. This is what we'll call the example of consecration. Paul has a lot of prayers in Scripture. And if you just Google prayers of Paul, it'll give you a whole listing of where he prayed. He prayed sometimes there was a sentence prayer. Sometimes there's a long paragraph prayer. Paul's prayers are all examples. When he's talking about how he prays for Christians, he's essentially myriad ways praying for their consecration. This is one from Philippians 1, 9 and 10. Now you'll notice that a couple of the I's are italicized because I've turned this into a prayer we could pray. In the text, Paul says your or you. So he says, this is what I'm praying for you. So before we look at the prayer as though we're praying it, think about that, what Paul's doing. Paul is praying that the other Christians will be consecrated. So when we pray for consecration, we're not just praying for ourselves, we're praying for others. How many of you are praying that I will be consecrated? You need to. If there's one person in this building you do not want to go off the rails, it's me. I'm just telling you, as goes the minister, so goes the ministry. Now, we have elders that are guarding the rails. But sometimes the train gets going too fast and it can break through the rails. And sometimes the elders aren't as consecrated as they need to be. You need to follow Paul's example and pray for people to be consecrated. You especially need to pray for your leaders in your church to be consecrated. You need to pray for your enemies to be consecrated. Some of you in this church are on one side of the political aisle, and some of you in this church are on the other side of the political aisle, and you have forgotten that the cross unites all people, and you are looking at people through the lens of their politics and not through the lens of the gospel, and that is wrong. It's dangerous. Stop doing it. It only creates divisions. You need to look at everybody and see them as their brother and sister in Christ, if that's who they are, and if they're not, invite them to Jesus. Pray for their consecration. That's what Paul's doing. But notice how we can turn this prayer into our own prayer. So every day you could make this a prayer of consecration. This is a great example. This I pray, that I may approve the things that are excellent, that I may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Folks, if you would just memorize that prayer, and you would make that your mission every day, that you would pray this, Lord, I want to approve the things that are excellent. I want to be sincere, which means legitimate, not a phony. I want to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And then after you pray it, you say, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do everything within my power to approve the things that are excellent. Now let's go back to that whole internet thing. There are a lot of unexcellent things that are floating through your feed if you're a regular Facebook user or internet. Right, user. I'm not a Luddite. I'm not against the internet. It's an important part. But I'm just saying, when you are approving the things that are excellent, you're not liking things that you know aren't really funny, that God doesn't approve of. You're not following people that are not helping. Why in the world would you want to surround yourself with such negativity? I mean, I can't do it. I go crazy. Woo! Hello. There's too much out there. And that's the way it is in life. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be friendly, but some people don't need to be your friends because they are not an opportunity for you to approve what is excellent. And not everything that you hear or read you need to follow on. But every day you're saying, not only am I going to, I'm going to approve what's excellent, but I'm going to be sincere. And so you prayed for it, now you say, I'm going to be the genuine article. When people look at me, they're going to know that guy's a real Christian. He's not just saying it, he's doing it. He's doing it. He's putting the effort in. He's slugging it out, right? And I'm also going to do it, and I don't want to give offense until the day of Christ. Now, why does Paul say that? Because he never wants us to forget that Jesus will come back one day. And we will stand before him and give account. And we will give account to him for how we did praying the prayer and then seeking to live the prayer. And then as you seek to live this prayer, then you pray it again. Lord, help me to approve the things that are excellent, that I may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's what it looks like. Now, there are a few things that relate to our attitude as we're praying for consecration. I hope that you are getting a taste for consecration. I hope that some of you are realizing you've been doing just the opposite, and God is gently instructing you how to turn your ship. And some of you are realizing what I've been doing really does work. I need to just keep doing it. All right? Your attitude, though, has to be directed in a few ways. First of all, you have to be completely abandoned to God. Recklessly abandoned to God. You have to just say, God, I'm all in. I'm not holding anything out. I'm 100% on board. Whatever you want, I will do it. Whatever you want, I will do it. And friends, let me tell you, whatever it is you're holding on to that you're afraid to abandon to God, why are you holding on to it? There's nobody you can trust more than God. You have a good Father. He loves you. He is never going to mess with you, to trick you. He is always going to do the thing that's in your best interest. And so when you abandon yourself to God, abandon your political views to God, abandon your emotions to God, abandon your future to God, abandon your present to God, abandon your past to God, when you do all of that, you're always going to win. Every time. Your attitude has to be of abandonment to God. Your attitude also has to be simplicity of heart. Matthew 6:33 says it best. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else is added to you. A simple Christian is what is called for. A simple commitment to the kingdom is what is called for. We can make our lives so confusing. Some of us have an addiction to drama. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, as my dad used to say, you could mess up a one-car funeral, son. And he said, you could just make it harder than it is. I was teaching one time years back on Jesus walking on water, and I was going into all this detail about this and that, and I love that stuff. And one lady in the audience said, TJ, he just walked on water. Isn't that enough? It's like, are you at the right church? Simplicity of heart is your attitude. You have to just say, there's nothing else that matters but God. And then the last part of our attitude is this. You have to have a willingness to change. Because when you pray this prayer of consecration, and then you set about doing the work of consecration, and then you pray that prayer of consecration again, spoiler alert, God is going to say, great, now let's change this. And that's when you say, well, I wasn't serious. You thought I was serious? You have to be willing to change. Change is not a bad word. How many of you know that forever in heaven, you will always be changing? Now, some of you, maybe you think rethinking your reservation over that, aren't you? Heaven is about continual growth in godliness. You will forever change more and more. If you think that change is a bad idea, you don't understand how the kingdom works. Now, we're not talking about change without caution and planning. But I've noticed that the older I get, and some of you in here are just a few years older than me, the older I get, the harder it is for me to countenance change. Anybody testify to that? Sure. That's not always bad. My dad always used to say, son, the older you get, the smarter I'll get. And he was right. But change is of the essence of consecration because God is always digging deeper. And He's not done digging. If you're breathing, He's digging. And He's going to bring up things and say, okay, let's work through this. Okay, let's work through this. And you have to think, how deep is that well? It's deep. So our attitude has to be abandonment to God, simplicity of heart, willingness to change. Finally, let's ask this question. What is the yield from this prayer? Because we're talking about a hard prayer. We're talking about something that's going to be work. We're talking about something that a lot of people love to talk about and don't like to do. The people who do this get labeled as Jesus freaks. The people who do this get labeled as fanatics. The people who do this get labeled as extreme. I want to be known as a Jesus freak. I want to be known as a true fanatic. I'm willing to be extreme for the Lord. So this yield is important. Here's what we can expect when we pray these prayers. First of all, you're going to begin to crave holiness and purity. I can always tell when someone is not wrestling with consecration, when they are not constantly wanting to be more holy and more pure. There is a certain sense in which every Christian has to live with some earthiness, which means you're going to have a few edges that are rough. We live in a particular culture and we express ourselves a certain way. But if you are growing in the Lord, listen to me, saint, if you are growing in the Lord, you are going to continually crave more holiness and more purity. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The prayer of consecration begins to cultivate a thirst and an appetite for holiness and purity. And when you start craving holiness and purity, you are going to be intolerant of things in your own life. And you're going to say, I'm getting that out of there. I'm not going to do that anymore because you realize all you want is Jesus. Another yield from this prayer is you are going to experience more intimacy with God. Don't be afraid of intimacy. All right. I've mentioned before, some of you are like prickly pears. Love the prickly pear, but it's hard to hug a prickly pear. All right? If you begin to truly seek consecration through these prayers, you're going to find that your intimacy with God is greater. You're going to actually start to feel some good things. You might even cry. You might find yourself hugging a person that you previously wanted to choke. Don't look, they're watching. You are going to experience intimacy with God. And intimacy with God is the key to transformation. You can't be around Jesus and not be different. That's one of the yields. And then the other yield is this. If you make these prayers of consecration a part of your life and you commit to that process, pray for consecration, work for consecration, pray for consecration, you are going to become more and more urgent about the kingdom business. You're going to realize, folks, we got to get busy. And I don't mean frenetic activity. I don't mean if I am doing 10 things instead of 8 things, that's better. I'm saying we are going to say, I have to be part of it. The kingdom is important. There's urgent. People are going to hell every day. Remember, on average, based on mortality rates in the U.S. and who is a Christian and who isn't, every 6 seconds an unbeliever dies. 1,001. 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006. There went another one. Get urgent about that. We have the words that save lives. We have the answer. The world is starving and we have the bread of life. We are called to be about the King's business. There is no greater priority, no matter what your age or stage in life. There is no greater priority than being urgent about the things of God. When you make these consecration, you're going to find yourself, I'm getting more urgent. It's got to happen. We got to be about the King's business. I dare you to take seriously what you've heard today. I dare you to pray it. I dare you to seek to live it. I dare you. I'm going to do it. I believe you're going to do it. And we're going to see great things because God takes seriously those who consecrate themselves to Him.
Thank you, friends, for having listened with us today on Cherry Street Pulpit, the preaching ministry of First Christian Church in West Frankfort, Illinois. More resources are available at the church website, fccwf.org. May God bless you as you continue serving Him faithfully in the name of Jesus.